Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Help us to learn something and talk to us, Lord, yourself. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. When we go through dedicating children, it brought something to my heart. The mystery of humanity. The mystery of man. While I was meditating on what will I, the Bible said, give them meat in due season. That is what they commanded his servant. And I said, well, we have preached on faith. We have preached on many things in this congregation. I have preached a lot of things to the point that you don't even know what topic do you want me to talk about today, Lord. Because we have a lot of things we can talk about, but I just couldn't get a topic. Then it was announced by the pastor that there's going to be dedication of children. Let's say right there. The mystery of man is what I'm going to talk about today. Praise the Lord. Just think about it. The mystery of humanity. First read for, open to Psalm 139 verse 13. See how King David put it. I say the mystery of humanity. In Psalm 139 verse 13, I'm going to read to verse 16. David was talking about how God created man. He said, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. The next verse. He said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and thou art my soul knoweth right well. Next verse. Say, my substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The last verse. So thy eyes did see my substance. So yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. Now this is the secret. So when as yet there was none of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you are an engineer, like I'm an engineer, you see design, just talking about design here. When you want to do anything in the engineering world, you just draw it on paper. And you can review it, and change it, and modify it. And you are, that's what he was saying. There was none of these parts, but God is reviewing it, and renewing it, and modifying it. Say, your eyes, did see my substance, imperfect. In your book, all my members were written. In continuance were fashioned. When there was not yet of them, not one yet. So that is engineering design. So if anybody say there is no God, I will say you are not an engineer. If you are, you see all these designs, you say there must be some intelligence behind it. Amen? There's an intelligence behind it. When my first, we have many of you that are fathers, maybe you have never been in that environment. Before I had my first baby, I've never been in the hospital to see a baby born. I've never. So when I was maybe in Nigeria, fathers were not allowed into the maternity ward. I never had my daddy see anything like that. But when I was having my first baby, A, and my wife was in the, when they brought the baby out, and they draw that thing, and it was long, I was first surprised for the length of the baby, because you know everything is. Do you know that everything, that's what David was talking about, every baby came up like this. That was how every baby, even the animals, they came up like this in the womb, folded up. And then when they pulled the baby out, whoa, look at that, 20 something length, 24, 20 inches. That first amazed me. And then they handed the baby to me. And I look at every part, even the fingers. The fingernails were there, small but complete. It made me see engineering in at work. Engineering, because I was an engineer, I've drawn this thing on paper. David said, oh, look at this. It's all designed, complete, modified, reviewed, and changed. That was what I was talking about. There was none of them who was doing it on paper. And then they send it through the factory. And then here comes the products. And they are rolling it out. That is what this life is all about. And go look at the old human race, the old Production, we call it reproduction. Every animal come up like that. Look at the giraffe. When they're in that womb, they come up folded. The same way. And I say, well, how can you do that? Think of, is any engineering, any scientist, I don't know whether some of them are thinking, any scientist can bring liquid, take another liquid, mix it together, and produce solid. Well, you may say, yeah, some clinical carbon, this, and you join it to this acid and that, and it might produce solid. Yes, maybe it will produce some solid. Now, carve that solid to form a particular shape. So you can see it's like imprinting, like you say, somebody printers will tell you, you just make this print, put it there, and then you blow out the rest, and there comes the print. They do that even in some art. But that is what God did. Then what is this print? That is the spirit that got in there and folded, because to get into this size, you've got to be like this for that size. And then everything was carved out and blow the rest of into water, and there comes the complete print out of these things, the mystery of man. But I'm going to take you a little further into that, just taking you how the human beings have been formed in the womb. Now, this is what the Lord really wants me to talk about. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah said, God told him that before you were formed in the womb, I knew thee. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. From verse 4, said, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I, God said I, God did it, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. So what are we talking about then? God is saying, just like I just described to you the engineering design, David said, God, you knew me, you already formed me, you created me when there was not even part of me. God designed these things and put a name on it and then sent him out. So what I just described to you, that they come like this, and it's almost like putting an imprint on a compound, and then it forms an image, and then you blow the rest away with water, and there comes an image, an image of God. But what is that spirit that is putting its imprint on that pot of clay? It's not a clay when you mix this water, and it becomes a potty. Let's call it a potty. They call it clay potty. And then it comes out as an image of somebody. That spirit comes from God. And that is what God is saying, I knew thee. So we are somewhere just sending us out like sparks of light, one by one, one by one. And he knew those that he has already given special charge to do this. That was what Jeremiah said. When you come through to this other side, born, you don't know anything about these things. Like the pastor just prayed, said, thou shalt do great things. So God already know what is the charge he's giving to you, this one, to this one. So God didn't just look around and say, I need somebody. Hey, here's Moses. He was raised in the king in the house of Pharaoh. Yeah, I can use him. No, God knew him before he sent him into this planet. That is what he's telling you. And that's what I'm trying to make you to know today, if you don't know this. And here God went for that to Jeremiah. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So Jeremiah didn't know anything about this, but God said, I know, I have chosen you, and before even you are here. So that should make you to know that God knows your destiny. Then rest in the Lord. If that is all you're going to get out of this, rest your faith in the Lord. You may say, well, I'm not like this great man. Forget about being a great man. Just follow whatever the Lord has called you to do. And that brought me to something that I was meditating upon this morning. Every one of us that are Christians, we want to be prophets, not so. We want to do wonderful, great things, mighty things, and prophesy about things, and everybody wants to lose great gifts. But you know, like the scripture says, in a king, in a great man's house, there are different vessels. Even in the world we are right now today. Think of the federal workers, federal government workers. If you are an employee of a federal government, and every employee of a federal government have their own type of work to do. Also. Now everybody likes to be the one to draw the gun, but you have to be a security officer to be given the gun. No, my daughter is working for the Department of Defense. Working for Department of Defense doesn't mean you carry gun. No. But you might desire, oh yeah, I like those guns. Look at their uniform. Look at the ammunition. You may desire it all you want. But you are not in that profession. You are a federal government worker, yeah, but not every federal government worker is to carry gun. Do you understand what I'm saying? The civilian employee, the postmaster, the officers at the post office, the postmaster, they are also federal government staff, but they don't carry gun. Everybody is expected to be aware of the security so that you, if you see something or hear something, you tell the right party. So the same way, when we claim, when we say we are believers, everybody wants to be able to prophesy. We see it on television. They say, that man, he did wonders. They saw Elijah did wonders. Everybody wants to do that. But we are not at the same profession. So think of it that way. So when I begin to see that, I say, well, why do I want these mighty wonders to go through me? Why am I wanting it? It's almost like if my daughter that is working for the government on this side wanted to be carrying this AK-47. Why? Because he loves to see this. He loves the uniform. No, you are not in that caliber. So the same way, God knows what he has called Jeremiah for. And he has ordained. You know what he has called me for to do? And he's going to use me for that. No matter how I want to be like Moses. To split the Red Sea. He has not called me for that. It will never happen. Amen. Or no matter, I want to be like this prophet, that minister, that great man. He is going to use you as he has called you to use you. So remember that, so that you make you to be humble. Humble thyself under the mighty hands of God. And stop seeking great things for yourself. Like God told, even a second, don't seek great things for yourself. This is how much he's going to use you for. Just make yourself available. Amen? That's all he's going to tell you about that. Now let's go further. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, I just gave you those background to see that, to make you to see how you should just follow the Lord. Make yourself available and let the Lord do what he's going to do through you. Everybody is expected to live for him. Amen? We and I, you are to live for Jesus. And that is your responsibility. He died for us so that we may live for him. Now where we are is, he can then choose whatever he wants to use you that he has already ordained you for. Like he was telling us in this story, in this psalm. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 6 and 7. Now this Bible verse is saying, because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the mystery of man is great upon him. Verse 7. For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 12 also says something in that same line. He said, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Why do I bring these two Bible verses? Just like we said in the beginning, I said, God knows what he has already ordained you to be. He has called you for a purpose. He said, before you are born, I know you. And I've ordained you to be a particular person for a particular job, for a particular purpose. Even if your job is to just help those whom he is going to use, do it faithfully. If your job is the one that is going to use, like Moses needed help. So God already ordained those who are going to help Moses. But don't try to take Moses' position. Don't try to rule over Moses. Because some people did in the wilderness and they suffered for it. But you see, God has ordained everybody to do something, whether to support. Joshua was supporting Moses, like a young man supporting Moses all the time, until God said it's time for Joshua to begin to do something also when Moses was living. Now I say, God, in that Bible verse, he's saying, no man knows your time. Suppose the Lord tells you what he has called you to be in a vision as you are growing up, before you are born, when you are born. Suppose the Lord tells you what he has, or tell you your life is in. What may happen if you know it before it happens? If you know it, who can guess? What is possibly could happen? Suggestion, and she starts smiling. If you know your life history, right when you're high school, and you just know what you are going, this is the path, and some bad things also. What is the tendency? Many we want to avoid those bad things. If God revealed that, that's why God does not reveal many things to us. He's not going to reveal many things. When, even if you are very close to the Lord and you are anointed like a prophet, he might tell you the next few 5 years of your life. Because if he tells you there's going to be attack, like he told Jeremiah, they said they are going to attack, they are going to beat you up. He said they will want to kill you, but I will not let them kill you. But if you try to, and Jeremiah said, it got to a point, Jeremiah said, I will not speak for him again. Why? Because everything he was speaking, people were opposing it, and they were beating him up. And he said, I just shut up my mouth. That's the only solution. Just shut up your mouth. I went to France many years ago from here for business. And in the hotel where I was in outskirts of Paris, it just come like a testimony. And in that hotel, I always wake up in the morning and pray and praise the Lord. And then the Lord brought me around 2 a.m. to pray over that Paris. That was 1990s. So I stretched for my rod over the city, because I was like a fifth floor, and I started speaking in tongues, started praying, speaking in tongues about 2 a.m. And I was facing through the window like that. I think it was cold, so I was not outside, so I was freezing. And as I was speaking in tongues, there was a light, like a ball of light from the top of the building, just went. I saw it, and I said, Amen. Amen. The following year, or some months later, I was to go to Paris again from the same company. And they blocked it. The devils blocked it. So I was joking about that when I was talking to one of my French friends. I said, how did they block it? I saw myself in a vision as they are planning to take me, to send me to Paris again. Somehow I was in the plane, and they got the plane down in the air, in that vision, and brought the plane down under the water. And we were there in that vision under the water for a long time until the training was over. Whatever I was going to do, 3-6 weeks training, it was over. Then they released the plane. And the Lord was just using that to simplify that they wouldn't let me come back to Paris. Why? Because the anointing that went there disturbed the spirits that were ruling the country, the devils. And I said, okay. And I was then joking with some friends here, with me and one French guy. We always play tennis together. And I told him the story. Almost like the devil speaking through the mouth of this boy. The boy said, well, you should have kept your mouth shut when you go to Paris. I said, well, you know about these things. He said, well, that's the only solution. Just keep your mouth shut. Don't pray. Don't talk to anybody about Jesus. Because this guy didn't believe in Jesus either. So that's why I was saying, Jeremiah wanted to keep his mouth shut. He said, they don't accept this thing I'm preaching, and every human, the prophets in the church who claim to be prophets in the temple, they oppose Jeremiah. And he said, I'll just keep my mouth shut. But he said this thing was boiling in his heart. He could not keep his mouth shut. That is because God has called him. So what am I saying? If God shows you that they will beat you up, you must always say, well, yeah, I better don't take this job. So that's why I'm saying that man does not know sometimes his time. But God can show you. An example of whom God showed, the story of Joseph in the Bible. He was just a young lad, and God told him what he will experience. He didn't know about what is going to happen to him. He just showed him the end. You are going to be somebody great. Even your father and your mother and all your brothers will come and be bowing down to you. That was the interpretation of the dream. well, that looks good. Wow, gee, I'm going to be great. But God didn't tell him about what he was going to go through to become great. And the people that he told this dream to, they didn't like it. Even his father said, shut up your mouth. You mean myself, your mother come and bow down to you? Keep quiet. But it happened. But what we're saying is that man does not know his time. And when God tells you what is going to be ahead of you, some of them may not be pretty. So the tendency is for trying to avoid or block those things that are not going to be pretty. And that is the reason why sometimes God does not tell us what is ahead. Even if you are a prophet, he will tell you only some part of it, or the end of it, and not the process, like we saw in the story of Joseph. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 5. The mystery of mankind, what I'm telling you, part of the mystery is that, like David said, Solomon said, man does not know his time, so it's so mysterious for us. Because if you know our time, what is ahead of us, we most likely want to change it. Do the work of God for him. That I don't want you to go there, let's go this way. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 5 says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. We don't know his work. Like I just told you, the mystery of creation that makes two liquid and form a body, and then there comes a baby because the spirit has put his imprint on it. God's mystery that he's showing a little here, a little there. We don't know how those bones do grow. We don't know the work of the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now that's where I'm going to wrap it up. Before I go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, let's go to the book of Romans. I'm going to make it very short. In the book of Romans, like I said in some of the earlier things I just said, I said, God has already ordained you to be whatever he has ordained you to be. Like he said, he has known you before you were born. All these young little babies that were coming into the world. You want some people say, well, I don't want to, this world is so bad, I don't want to bring any children into this world. Who are you to do that? Who are you to judge that? Don't worry about that. God knows what is going to be. We have been waiting since 1970s for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Some people thought, well, the Lord is coming soon. Why do I need to bring children to the world? That is not my responsibility. God is sending these lives, these spirits to the world. And when it's time for him to put an end to it, that stop, the time is here, he will do that. A lot of different opinions have passed since I've been on the street preaching, talking to people about the gospel. Some people say, well, this world is so bad, I would never bring I don't want to bring anybody child to the world, and so on and so forth. I said, you don't know anything, because God is doing this by election. And that's what Paul is going to tell us in the book of Romans. In chapter 9, let's start from Romans chapter 9, verse 11. Romans chapter 9, verse 11. As we said, who is going to be born, or is going to be a believer, who is going to serve the Lord, who is going to become great, who is going to be this, who is God going to use great things for, do great things for, they are all by election. Romans chapter 9 verse 11 is in line with what we are talking about. God said, I know Jeremiah before he was even formed in the womb. And here, Apostle Paul was writing this, that even when the children were not yet born, taking an example of Esau and Jacob, neither having done any good or evil. So if you think it's because you have been great, or you are raised well, and your parents, and you obey, that is why God chose you. No, that was just part of the process. That is not why he has chosen you. He only ordained you before you were even born. Like he's saying here. So these children have never done good or evil. But for the purpose of God, according to election, my stand, not of works, but of him that call it. The next verse, verse 12. You see, it was said unto her, we're talking about the wife of Isaac right now, say, the elder shall serve the younger. That's talking about Esau and Jacob. Next verse. Say, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Next verse. So is God unrighteous? No, God is not unrighteous. God is just telling you what has been ordained. Like he said, I know you before you are formed. And when God has selected you for a purpose, he has already ordained you to go in that path, in that direction. So God knows those that are coming his way. God knows those that are not going, no matter how you try to change a dog and try to, a white baby, a white puppy, no matter how you try to make a white puppy become like a white sheep, it's not going to work out. When they were all little, they may look like, they look alike. Like a, take a little chicken hen, when they are little hen, they have not grown their wings, and a little eagle, they all may look alike. But as they grow up, then they begin to form the sheep. So the same way, God already knows. Christ said something, he said that, I know my sheep, and they hear my voice. And he was talking to the Jews that said they were the children of Abraham. He said that, but you don't believe because you are none of my sheep. But God can see before we were born. He can see us too before we were born. So he knows every person. So that is why we just have to commit your life into his hand. Amen. Just trust in him. That's all I'm trying to make you to see from all this mystery. Trust in the Lord and just commit your life into his hand and then follow his word. Just follow his word. Do your best to obey his precepts and let him lead wherever he wants you to be and lead you in the way. In Romans chapter 11, verse 5 and 7. Paul still talking, said that there is election. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So what was he talking about? Are we saved by because we do something good or because we do something for Christ or we? No, it is by the grace of God. No matter how good you are, it is still by the grace of God that he has already chosen you. When I didn't know, David said, you were designing me before I was even formed, when there was no path, when I didn't even know anything about it. So God has designed humanity and he has designed where we are going to be. And it is that grace of God that is using to call us one by one unto himself. And so we should just rest in the Lord and trust in him and commit your way unto the Lord. That does not mean you shouldn't pray, but your prayer should be with confidence now that, Lord, I know you know me before I was even born. I know you have already ordained. If I am going through a trouble right now, I know you know it before it happened. So I'm just asking you for your help to overcome, to stand tall, to stand. I was thinking of something recently. I said, people want the miracles that God did for the stories like Daniel in the lion's den. Who would not like that? I want to be delivered like Daniel was delivered in the lion's den. Then you must be ready to go to the lion's den. Amen. I want God to show supernatural wonders like he did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. The fire did not hurt them. Yes, but you must be ready to go into the fiery furnace. Because God showed up only when they were in the fiery furnace. So you see what I'm talking about? There will be process. That process can be a bad situation, a tough time, and God is waiting, watching, seeing you get through to the fiery furnace. Then he will show up. So whatever you are going through right now, whatever is that situation, think about that and say, if I can just keep holding on God and not deny him, he's going to come through at the end. Because that is all that this is going to talk about. That's all we are trying to talk about. Whatever you are going through right now, and whatever may come in your way in the future, just remember, God is always going to come through, but you must stand firm all to the end in that fiery furnace. Because God only showed up when they were in the fire. You say, well, he could have showed up so that he don't even have to get into the fire. He could do it that way also. He could do it that way. But remember, God is omniscient, and he's also sovereign, which means he chooses when he's going to show up. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I'm going to wrap it up with that. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Now in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon was giving us what is the summary of all these things. Because we talk of when the baby is born and is going to take us through, and I've just been talking about everything you are going to go through in life. Young people, if God shows to you your life, maybe you have a vision and you are still going, thinking of going to high school, then you have a dream. Like Joseph said, "No, daddy and mommy, I saw the dream. I was prime minister of Egypt." That looks good. But God didn't tell him of the imprisonment. God didn't show him the brothers selling him into slavery. Those are not palatable. Those are not good things. Those are not good stuff. So the same way, if you find yourself in a vision and you say, "Well, I was wearing a white coat, that means I'm going to be a doctor." You love that. Everybody loved that. But see, you don't know about the 4 years of post, another 4 years of college, and another 4 years of this and many things. And so those are all the process. So the same way, God can show you the future, like we said, but man does not know those things. And that is why the mystery of man is tough upon him. Because if we know, maybe we try to correct some things. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, now we're talking of, now you grow through that process, you are coming to seniority, old age. This is what Solomon wants to talk to us about in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. Say, "Remember now thy creator," verse 1. While you are still young, remember your creator. Because the old age is coming when you are going to be looking back and seeing all that you have gone through in life. And you are now counting, did you fulfill your destiny? Did you fulfill that destiny? You may look back and see the times. I'm now in my 60s. And many of our brothers fathers here in 50s and 60s. That you begin to look back at your career, maybe economy, engineering career, and see how you have change jobs and ups and downs of financial situations or health or some, and you just look at all those, you may realize at the end that they are all part of the process that brings you to this position. And then you should be able to thank God if you have been faithful to the Lord. Even in the times when there are tough times, have you been faithful? Not to curse God like Job was told to curse God and die because of the trouble. If you can look back and say, "I didn't curse God when those terrible things happened, thank you, Jesus," then you know that the Lord is going to be happy with you. But now he's talking about old age begin to come, and you are going to begin to see the progression of your, even your body as it's getting old. But you don't want to have tears. You want to be able to look back at those years and say, "Thank you, Jesus. I did my part," like the child that was given to these young parents, that train up these children in the way of the Lord. So that when you look back, you can look back and say, "I have done my own part faithfully. And the Lord will be well pleased," because that will come. As long as the Lord has not come, that day will come when you are now grandpas also. And you can look back and say, on grandmas, you can look back and say, "Well, I did my job faithfully." And you say, "Well, I didn't become Moses, yeah, I didn't become prime minister, but that which you become through your career, the Lord has ordained it that way. That is your own line he has ordained for you." Like I say, not everybody is going to be great this and great that, but if you are just a help, he has chosen you to be a help, be satisfied with that help. Because there was a vision, a man saw himself before the throne of God, and he saw people that were sitting on thrones with Christ, unknown people, not great men that he knew in or not, unknown people. He said many of them are just grandmas, and they were not evangelists. They just faithfully served the Lord as parents, just as parents, doing what God commanded them to do, and they were sitting on the throne. Not, "Oh, I converted the whole nation of China to Christ." No, God is not looking at that. Are you faithful in the position he has assigned to you? If you are faithful in that position as a mom, or as a dad, or as an engineer, or as a nurse, you do your own part, because in every profession, you are contributing to this planet. I preached a sermon here before. I said, God gave me some insight. He said, when he told Adam to tend the garden, that was his profession, tend the garden. But that is the profession of every one of us up to today. You are tending the garden. The garden is this planet Earth. And whatever you are contributing to the to make this world habitable, that is your contribution. That is tending the garden. So, and you are going to be judged concerning how you perform your duty of tending that garden. Well, I'm just an engineer, yeah, but all these things are to make the world habitable. Look at what engineering has done. Electricity, this. Cell phone, now we can call and look like we are just talking to our friend in Nigeria. 100 years ago, it was impossible. You can talk to China now. You can even send texts and talk back and forth. Drive life between here and the other end of the world. The world has become a little bit habitable. That is the plan of God. Tend the garden. So all from Adam up to now, everybody is doing some part of their own contribution to tend the garden that God has created. And so when you look back at your life as you are getting to seniority, senior years, you can say, have I done my faithfully? And God is going to reward you. Or have you been evil in some situations? Repent. But when you are still young, Solomon said, remember now thy creator in the days of your youth. While the evil days come not. The evil days is when the body is wearing out. It's going to describe. See, now the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. That is, when the body is aching here, and because the body is getting old, it looks like no days. I remember going to a grandma's house. No, she's gone right now to be with the Lord. And this grandma was many people that were encapsulated. You know, Sister White, we call her Sister White because she's, that's her last name, Sister White. I went to her house when she was still alive, and her son was also old in us, you know, in that time. She was in then almost close to 90, and the son was close to 70. And the wife of the son also very old. So I went to visit them. I was still like in my 30s, I can't remember. And I was talking to her son. The son said, oh, Brother Julius, we are all old. Yeah. That's the son that was in 70s. We are all old, yeah. Everything is like the days are not. I was, how are you guys? And he was more or less talking about what Solomon said. The days are so short. You say, I have no pleasure in the days. Like, you have no pleasure in the days because of the situation of aging process that was coming in upon them. See? That was what Solomon was saying there. He said, you have no pleasure in those days. Now you can still jump up around and go and exercise and do it faithfully. Because God is going to be looking for how you serve him when you are strong. That's what Solomon is saying here. So while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. He's talking of the sun because the eyes of older people, the canon is becoming shadowy. They cannot see. Even the sun is so bright, look like still dark in the outside. Why? Because you couldn't see much. So Solomon is describing the aged people. He said, even the clouds will return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. What do you mean by strong men bowing themselves? He said, when they were young, they were strong. Look at those young men. They were building those muscles. See the muscles. But when they are in their 90s, the muscles are weak. And he's saying they are strong men, they now bow because of aging process. That is when they said they don't have pleasure in the days. When I first came, I came to this country and I was looking for a place to rent. So I saw an advertisement. I said, you can share a room. So I said, okay. So I called this place up in somewhere in McDowell. So they said, come over here, come over. Come and see whether you can share the room. So and I drove myself to the place. It was a house. And the woman looked at me. The woman that opened the door was very old lady, maybe in her 70s or 60s. I mean, I was 29 then. She looked at me and said, well, you are not old. Why was he expecting me to be old? I was not sure what he meant. You are not old. I said, well, come and look where you can live with us here. And she showed to me, opened the door, and I saw in this room some aged. When I say aged, you know, I was 29. Aged women sitting on chairs, about three of them, looking at a television. They were so aged and wrinkled and smaller. I was because I came from Nigeria, I've never really, we are not familiar with that, to put people in homes. In Africa, you see an aged person, she's just one with his children. But they were all kept in the same house, and they were all aged. And I was wondering, what are they doing here? So, well, these are the people that are living here, and they just have one more room for somebody to share. These women should be in their 90s, or if not 100. And I could see they are watching television. I'm sure they couldn't understand what's going on TV. So she said, well, she showed me the next room, just like a single family house. It's a single family house, not a hall. So she showed the next room and said, well, this bed is available, where there are three people there that are looking at TV. They are also the same old age. So I said, okay. He said, well, you see, that's what I mean. I don't know, because you are on the phone, huh? You know what really whom you are. So these are the people that live here, but we have a bed that you can share. I said, okay, no. So what am I saying? The Solomon is saying there will be an aging process like that, where we are very old. If the Lord has not come and you live long enough, you will be that old too. I'm not laughing at him, you will be that old too. Look at, that was 40-something, almost 40-something years, if not so. 1970, I can't remember, I came 1981. See? So that is why I'm saying, Solomon is saying, there will be a situation when you are that old, if the Lord continues to tarry, and you will be looking at the news, and you say, who are these people on the news? Talking of Iraq, talking of this, talking of, things will be changing, the technology will be changing, and things will be changing. You have no pleasure, you do not will understand what it's all about. We were talking of email. People of seniors to us don't even know anything about email. They were joking about, what is his name? John McCain. They said, John McCain, you can't even send email. It was just 70-something then, or still 70-something. That was just a little bit, it's only people that were in engineering and computer, maybe we know much about this before. Our parents and seniors won't know anything about it. But the great students are knowing much about email, they are knowing all this Yahoo, they know everything about computers. They can even, my daughter can tell me what is a Twitter. I've never been on Twitter. And I said, what's that, Twitter? So I was a computer engineer. I will design all this when they were building it. But now they were using it. What is Twitter? And there's many other ones like that. The world is going. And if the Lord continues, it will continue like that. And we may all not be here, but the world continues until the Lord comes. But what you do when you are young for the Lord is what He is going to judge for you. And this is what Solomon is saying here. I'm going to jump and go back to verse 8 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 as I wrap it up. Because he just described the silver cup being broken and so on and so forth. It's a vanity. He said the world is vanity if you think of it that way. But in verse 9, moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. You can think of Solomon writing this when he was now old. So he's talking from experience. He says, verse 10 says, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goats and as nails, fasting by the masters of assembly. Verse 12 says, and further, by this my son be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weakness of the flesh. That's what he thinks. But let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is where we're going to wrap it up. Fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That is what you are doing when you are young, when you have the strength. Are you serving the Lord with that strength? God is going to bring it to bear when the day of judgment comes. Now, if you have done some bad things when you are growing up, they were covered by the blood if you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you commit your life to Christ, whatever error you made when you are growing up, or you young people are still growing up, when you hear this, that is when you have to become responsible, accountable to what you are hearing, the word of God. So now you can make up your mind, I want to live for Jesus. Show me, Lord, how to serve you. When I'm still young and strong, I can witness. I can go about preaching in the streets. I can talk to people about Christ and serve the Lord whatever way. And the Lord will be very happy with you. Now, if you are seniors like me and you have done some things in the past and you know you are not proud of those things, when you come to the Lord, you can repent. And those will be covered by the blood of Jesus. That is why he came to die. The thief on the cross realized what he did all his life, but now he saw one last opportunity and he said, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And all those Christ said, today thou will be with me in paradise. And all the sins the man has done, covered by the blood of Jesus. So you can be forgiven and your sins covered by the blood of Jesus. And you can begin to turn a new leaf and give your life to serve the Lord and obey his commandment that Solomon said. One of the commandments is just that. Raise up your child in the way that it should go. And obey his precepts, like he said, that we have been reading in the book of Colossians chapter 3. You can read all about it. How you and I to live our life for him who died for us. The Bible says, he died for all, so that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Let's stand up to our feet. Let's stand up to our feet and talk to the Lord. That the mystery of man, from the time before even we came to this planet, which we don't even know where we were, he said he knew us. And like sparks of light, he sent us out here to serve him. And now we have to be accountable before him. If you want to ask the Lord to help you, to be able to fulfill your own destiny, just raise up your hand and say, Lord, help me. I need to make things straight with you, Lord. I want to commit my life to the Lord. Just raise up your hands, talk to the Lord yourself. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Just talk to the Lord yourself and say, Lord, help me. I want to make things straight. Because like Solomon said, all that you do when you are even young, they are all going to be judged by God. Unless they are covered, if they are sinful things, they better be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you accepted his son, Jesus, to be your savior. And then you turn a new leaf from today and begin to serve him. Live for him. Let him live his life through you. Let's pray. Talk to the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. Thank you for this exhortation. Thank you for the creativity. You are the great engineer, the great physician. And you have brought mankind from the first day that we step on this planet till the end, you are going to be with them. But some people went astray, and you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive all our sins and to make us new creatures in Christ. And thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us that make us new creatures in Christ. And we that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. Those that are committing their life to their new. And if you want to renew your commitment to the Lord, just talk to him yourself also. Father, we want to renew our commitment to you, to obey your precepts and to live for you. Teach us how to do it, Lord, and let your grace help us to be able to do that and please you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now we are going to do the offering. Let the praise team come back and give us some songs. You can sit down and prepare your offering while they sing the song.